from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good Friday music. Oh yeah, here we go. Happy Friday, everyone. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Just myself today. Josh is enjoying a much-needed vacation. Apparently, as I heard yesterday, he is going to a polo match. Didn't realize those took place outside of Europe and even more insularly, the United Kingdom. Did not know that was a thing here in the United States. Hope he enjoys himself. I hope he wears something that fits, that is correct for the environment he's going to be in. I feel like you can't just wear a polo shirt. I could be wrong, though. Very excited, though, today. Friday, got the Open Championship going on. We've got a Formula One race this weekend as well in Hungary. FP1 practice happened a few hours ago. I've currently got the golf going on right now. And we've got training camps getting underway. Chicago's going to get on the field today. Houston was on the field yesterday. The Bills are going to be on the field next week, Wednesday. Everyone will be reported by Tuesday. I cannot wait. It's been too long. I love the summer. I do love aspects of the offseason. Of course, we all know I'm a draft junkie. But man, I get to a point where it's just like, let's get the ball rolling. I said a little bit last night on the nightcap where it's just, you get to a point where everything has been said. You've come up with all the theories. You've come up with everything you could say to give yourself hope, to give yourself, you know, a realistic outlook on your team, what have you. And now it's time to actually see the players get on the field. It is time to see if how your team was built this year is built correctly. If you're rebuilding, is the rebuild going well? If you're retooling, did you do what you needed to do? Or if you're a contender, are you actually a contender? Or are there weak spots in your team that just you probably won't be able to figure out the rest of the year? I cannot wait. I'm so excited. And there's a number of things that I'm excited for, namely the new look wide receiver room. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis out the door, and in come guys like Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Chase Claypool, among others. Of course, you also have returning faces such as Khalil Shakir. But man, that room alone is just, it's a story in of itself.
of how is this going to look now for the Bills. They've had very much the same kind of core guys for the last 4 years. Gabe Davis kind of worked his way up until the last 2 years where he's been the number two, but for the most part, it has been Diggs, Davis, and then a few guys that they'll add here and there. They've already moved off of some of the older guys, such as Cole Beasley and John Brown from a number of years ago. Emmanuel Sanders is only a one-year stop here, but now it's a completely new wide receiver room, and I'd even argue it's kind of a new skill position room with the fact that Dalton Kincaid is not just a rookie this year. I mean, at this time last year, we were talking about how quickly will they really be able to get him on the field. There was talks that they were just going to do what he is good at, move on, figure it out afterwards, and let him just go catch the ball. But now it's at a point of, he just needs to be a guy on the field, helping the team out right away. Will he be able to do it? All the numbers from last year tell you he would be able to. He was a guy that, with the transition from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady as OC, he was somebody that was on track for 113 targets, even with Stephon Diggs on the team. So now, you got to wonder, all right, now you're kind of the guy. You're not going through the craziness that is an NFL rookie year for guys. And he also had to deal with an injury to his back. So we didn't even get to see him much during the combine. He was rehabbing and then hit the ground running. Here we go. Now he's got a whole offseason under his belt. He's moving forward. We'll see what he's going to offer. Khalil Shakir, somebody that I know me and Josh are very excited about. I've been excited for Shakir since they drafted him outside of Boise State. But can he put together a full season? We haven't seen that yet. His rookie year, he's a fifth-round rookie. You don't expect him to get a ton of reps. They eventually figured it out, and he had some big moments in big games. His second year was an atrocious training camp. We're talking about guys like Andy Isabella potentially being over him, potentially should make the team over him if it weren't for Shakir being a second-round guy rather than a third, four-year guy. But by the second half of the season, he really found himself and became a dynamic member of the Bills' offense, really one of the few consistent wide receivers Allen could rely on. What's he going to look like this year? What is he going to offer this Bills team now that he is, in some ways, one of the few established guys on this Bills roster? Then you have others. Curtis Samuel comes in and basically hasn't had a quality quarterback in his life, it seems like. Now he gets Josh Allen. I'm somebody that kind of wonders, was Gabe Davis kind of getting help from Josh Allen rather than just being himself a very, very good receiver? I think his year in Jacksonville is going to be very interesting. Now Curtis Samuel comes in and is really the only guy of this room that you have enough evidence of to tell yourself or to convince yourself, hey, this could work. This could be really good. He comes in kind of this gadget guy, but also having seen what he did with Joe Brady in 2020 and parts of 21, looked pretty darn good. You can kind of get excited about it. But man, it is a bit nerve-wracking. I'm saying this, and I'm pretty excited, but it's nerve-wracking. Because if this does go poorly, if ultimately I've kind of, you know, made my bed with this, I think this is the way of the future. I think this is where a lot of quality contending teams will start to go. But ultimately, if this is wrong, if this is a bad move, if guys like Keon Coleman come out of his rookie year and you're sitting there going, oh, they whiffed on that pick. If he's Quentin Johnston this year, we can start talking about the Bills having potentially wasted a year of Josh Allen, and I would argue they've done a few years here where they just have simply not put enough around the offense. It has been too much discount shopping and not enough really going for it. And you don't need to do that by always drafting guys in the first round or making big trades for someone, say, like Brandon Ayuk, or a few years ago when A.J. Brown was available. But look at what Green Bay did. Second, third round. Just pick a guy. Grab somebody. He may not have the tools to develop into a number one, but does he add a speed factor? Is he a really good route runner? You know, does he add an element to your offense that maybe you didn't have, or is just very good at one specific thing? You know, to a certain extent, you could argue they traded for Stephon Diggs, and that was really it. That was their big move, and after that, they just kind of kept, you know, we'll add 34-year-old Emmanuel Sanders and hope he's still got enough left. You know, well, Gabe Davis is a fourth-round pick, looked pretty good. We'll keep riding with him. I think now they've moved off of that. Khalil Shakir's fifth-round pick is really hit, but then they go draft Dalton Kincaid, and then the next year they draft Keon Coleman. I think they're now moving towards that, but it did take a while to get there, and that is my worry. You can miss on those picks. I mean, ultimately, look at Kansas City. Kansas City has missed on most of those picks. Sky Moore is nearly unplayable. Rashee Rice looked good, but ultimately, he's going to be suspended potentially as much as 10 games. Then you go to guys that they've traded picks away to bring in. Kadarius Toney actively hurt the team. And then we'll see with Xavier Worthy. I am somebody, I watched him for 3 years at Texas. I know many listeners know I'm a huge Longhorns fan. I loved him as a Longhorn. I would have not drafted him as a Bills fan. I just wouldn't have. He's too small. He is not Tyreek Hill. That should not be his comparable. They are 20 pounds of difference between the two. Tyreek Hill is 20 pounds heavier, stronger. His comparison is at best Hollywood Brown, who he is now on the same roster with. So they haven't been perfect, but they've been trying. I would almost argue Green Bay has been borderline perfect on it. Just keep adding guys and it just works out perfect that they're all really darn good players. But it's going to be interesting, and I think it's maybe the most interesting storyline. For me, the defense, I don't know how much of an interesting storyline there is, really. I think the health is going to be there. I think they've got more depth at linebacker than they have had in years. I think the secondary, the same thing. They moved off of, well, you know, incredible veterans. Guys got older, and they eventually moved on to younger guys, and they even go and add a second-round pick in Cole Bishop, which I think is going to be huge for the future of this secondary. You have very good cornerbacks. Teron Johnson, who I think is still underrated in the NFL. Christian Benford has looked really good. And Rasul Douglas was a masterstroke of a trade last year to come in and be part of what I think is becoming a new transition for the Bills a big transition for the Bills defense of making big plays rather than just being very consistent and very good. They're instead going for the game-changing plays to get the ball back in their offense's hands and to get the ball back to their best player and their best chance of winning a Super Bowl, and that is Josh Allen. But let's go to the phones here as we've got Jerry in Kenmore. Jerry, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Good morning. I think one of the things that's going to go away is we got significantly younger with moving players out like the safeties and Diggs. And, you know, injuries have been an issue the past 2 years. And I think when you get younger, you address some of the injury issues. But what I want to talk about is the wide receivers. We learned a valuable lesson last year. When we were good 3 and 4 years ago, the third and fourth and fifth receiver were veteran guys that had started in this league, whether it's Cole Beasley or John Brown or Sanders. Last year, there's a reason that Hardy and Sherfield and Isabella were available. They've never started in this league, and they've never been good receivers. If you get a good quarterback, veteran-level players at those positions, and we have that again with Claypool and Samuel and what's his name from KC?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
They have started in this league. Hardy never started. Sherfield never started. I think we got to stop thinking we can take something and make it into something. The NFL is very good who in the league is bad their first 2 years and all of a sudden gets good? This league is, you usually are what you are like almost immediately in this league, unless you're a quarterback or a corner. It doesn't pop and all of a sudden you're good. I think the wide receiver position is actually going to be better this year than it was last year. I don't know what happened to Davis the last year and a half, but every time a ball that was thrown by Allen that was intercepted or missed the guy by 30 yards, the target was always Davis. And I don't know why they weren't on the same page. That never used to happen. That never happened with Diggs. There was never a ball thrown 20 yards away from Diggs when twice a game it would happen with Davis. I don't know if he's not running the right routes or they're just on the wrong page. You know, those sideline catches that Davis was making in his rookie year, they just went away. I don't know what happened to Davis, but I think they're going to be better than people think at the wide receiver position just because of guys that know how to play the game.
Jerry, thanks for the call, man. And I, for the most part, agree with that. I really, really do. I mean, me and Josh put up a poll, I want to say last week, near the end of the week, that it was basically like, what wide receiver room would you take, 2023 or 24? And, of course, 2023 had Stephon Diggs. He gets traded away. But I think you're spot on in your analysis that the biggest problem last year was that their number two, three, four guys weren't good. They weren't getting open. They weren't consistent enough. And ultimately, if Diggs really is having, you know, the 30-year blues kind of show up and you know, his abilities are dipping, there was no one else to kind of take over the load that was being just put on Diggs' back. And it eventually got to a point where the offense was better by not going to Stephon Diggs, by not having him be the lead guy on the offense. It became to a point where, you know, Shakir and Kincaid were leading the team in receptions, or James Cook was. And now you do have more, I would say, somewhat established guys. I am still leery on bringing up somebody like Chase Claypool, like you did, just because his first 2 years in the league were really solid with big pop moments. But then he was a non-factor on two teams that did kind of need him. Yes, quarterback play being bad to, you know, kind of average, I guess, with Tua. I get very leery about Claypool and hedging my bets, I guess, with him. I think once Marquez Valdes-Scantling got signed, that was the Bills sort of signaling, I think, even to themselves and some of the fans, hey, if Claypool doesn't work, we still got a guy on the outside that we know for sure at least will make a few plays. And then the Keon Coleman stuff. And that's – Keon is maybe the most interesting guy because I think most of this offseason since he's been drafted, it's been really nice, like, media moments and mic moments that get you excited. The Bills, of course, release a video, as they always will, for, the, you know, the draft prospect at minicamp, that he looks really good. And even I said it, you know, outright. Like, I don't want to believe this, but he looks really, really smooth. It looks very effortless for him. And I've heard a few, you know, people that are, like, on NFL Network and ESPN talking about how effortless he – or, you know – how he makes the difficult look easy and stuff like that. You know, the buzzwords and the phrases that you hear that get you excited. He, I think, is the guy that this kind of all hinges on. If he is pretty darn good right away, they've got a really good wide receiver room. It's not flashy, but most of the best moves in sports are never the sexy moves. It's why math might be the most important subject a person can learn, and yet it's easily the worst. It's not fun. It's hard. It's difficult. The Bills have made a lot of hard and difficult moves this offseason. They have moved off of a lot of stalwart veterans, fan-favorite guys. And they did so, I would say, in some ways, quite brutally. You know, there's a reason why last week when we had Greg Thompson on, you know, we called it Black Wednesday. They just kind of got rid of everybody. It made sense. You knew it was kind of coming. But when it happened, it was like, oh, okay, look, we're doing this. And then, to your main point, Jerry, they did get younger. They move off of Stephon Diggs, who, you know, is potentially on the opposite end of 30 here in terms of his play, and they go to a lot of young guys. Curtis Samuel himself is ultimately 27. You've signed him to a 3-year deal. You'll be out of it by the time he's 30. Beautiful. Perfect. Where everyone else, you know, Shakir is 24, Kincaid is 24, Coleman, 21, just turned 21. It's a lot of young guys you can build around. This is where I've wanted them to go. This is what I've wanted them to do. Their biggest problem is they've had other needs they've had to fill. I think that's ultimately been a big problem, or maybe a big realization for me, at least, in the last 2 or 3 years, is they have not been the most talented team in football. They have not been a team without holes. Like, I think many of us thought once they signed Von Miller, they weren't that team yet. Now they might be. I think they have more pop players that can decide games. You know, looking back at Von Miller's first year in Buffalo, before his torn ACL, he was exactly what the Bills signed. That's exactly what they wanted. A finisher. Someone that puts a game away. Now, let's see what happens with him. It's another year post the torn ACL. This is typically the recovery process. We had Aaron Quinn on from Cover One. He sort of said the same thing of just, you know, you can sort of start to see it in these videos of there's more pop. He's got more burst than he had last year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Terrell Bernard, who I joke all the time, he made more big plays in three games than Tremaine Edmonds made in 3 years. And that's not to disrespect Tremaine Edmonds, who was a very solid middle linebacker for the Bills from day one. But immediately Bernard came in and was making big plays. They are getting younger, and I think they are ultimately getting better. This year might be somewhat painful. They do have talented teams in the division, in the Jets and the Dolphins. But ultimately, they still have core pieces on the defense. They have the main guy they need on the defense, that being Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage, still here running the defense. And then for the offense, I think they've become more versatile, which is something they simply weren't last year. With Ken Dorsey, it was a lot of home run balls when they didn't have the guys really to do that. And then with Joe Brady, yes, it became more run dominant, but I just fervently believe that was due to necessity, that ultimately they did not have the weapons to throw the ball as much as they wanted to or in the way they wanted to. And now they potentially have that, not in spades. I still think wide receiver is in need. I still don't see necessarily a guy developing into a one that we have to debate paying in 4 years. I don't see that yet. Keon Coleman could change my mind in 4 or 5 games. But until then, I'm not seeing it yet. I still think they need more young guys. And I still haven't really seen Khalil Shakir in a full year. I still haven't seen Dalton Kincaid in a full year. We'll see what happens with Joe Brady and what he's doing. But I am so excited for this offense, with a hint of nervousness, because it is something new and it is not flashy. And it's much easier to, in your head, get behind something that's flashy, something that everyone seems to like. Where, you know, if you turn on ESPN and they're talking about the Bills, what are they saying? It's typically that the window is closed, that the Bills are not doing enough for Josh Allen. I'd argue against that, but all of us also, you know, follow this team 24/7, 365. But it's much easier to grab onto something that is flashy, a Brandon Ayuk trade, a trade-up for Roma Dunze, or even a trade-up for Brian Thomas Jr. It is less to do so than trading back and taking a guy in the second round and going just above discount shopping at wide receiver. So I would not ever say Curtis Samuel's discount shopping, but it is still not a flashy move per se. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Nico on the line. Nico, my friend, how are we doing today?
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, man.
Hey, listen, so you're getting me excited, brother. I mean, everything you're saying, I'm completely on board with. I would, if I could add a few things, just to provide a little bit of clarity to the audience as well, in terms of our perspective, but I really felt like last year was a lot, almost felt, and the only difference is we have a different version of Josh than we had in that year without the defense we had in there. So I kind of felt like last year's offense was a lot like 2019 in terms of personnel.
Ooh, meaning, okay.
You know, we had a decent back, but like you said, you know, we didn't just, you know, we had Diggs, right? But we had a different version of Diggs. We didn't have the best version of Diggs. And in addition to that, we just didn't have go-to people. I think we added Brown and Beasley that following year. All of a sudden, things started to click for Josh because people were open. Where were we getting open? In the middle of the field. When they were running blitzes, and remember this distinctly, when teams would try to say, oh, yeah, just man up on Buffalo, Josh can't throw against man, or Josh can't throw against zone. All of a sudden, you added Beasley in, and Brown beat man, and Beasley beat the zone. And I feel like automatically he skyrocketed into being like MVP conversation. So I think if you kind of transform into this year, I do believe that we kind of have a similar wide receiver kind of dynamic where we have these guys that are coming in now that can beat the zone and beat the man. And then we have, you know, a really interesting person in Coleman who could potentially be something special, but we won't probably know that until after this year. So that's that piece. I would also say, so there's two other pieces I'd like to touch upon. One is the coordinating piece. I do believe, and I firmly believe this, and you were touching upon it just recently, but I firmly believe Brady has the capabilities of running an offense that's not predictive, if that makes sense. I felt like we became very predictive. Like, you can't tell me when Dable was coaching how many times I could tell you in a game where there would be plays he would scheme up at some point in the game where a guy was so wide open, Josh could miss. Or Josh would pull the ball and he was walking in the end zone. That did not occur at all last year. At all last year, it was like you had to beat the defender to the ball, or Josh had to put a laser beam into coverage. Now I think with Joe, we're going to see more of kind of what we saw with Dable. Not necessarily the same type of offense, but an offense in which we're going to scheme and there's going to be guys wide open. There's going to be guys that we can't miss. I do believe that's going to happen. Now, I will tell you, we're going to have to be a little patient because these guys are just coming into the team and it's going to take time for chemistry to build. But I do believe that we will be our best version of ourselves for 24-25, more towards the back half of the season than the front half.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last point is, and this is the point that I think a lot of people are missing out on, and that is I do believe we were well past the time to, like, transition our personnel over on defense to a younger, faster group. Because I don't care what anybody says, one thing McDermott can do is coach defense, and I will tell, there was a great point made yesterday about him being successful in the playoffs, you know, with his defenses. But I do think in the playoffs, most recently, we were exposed because of personnel issues. I do think this personnel, and again, it's going to take time, I think the youth, the influx of youth in speed, I think is going to have a significant impact on our defense. And if we stay off the injury bug this year, I think we're going to have a very dangerous team. What I tell people is the goal is Cincinnati from 2 years ago. That's the type of personnel we have, and I don't think we're far off right now. You know, other than, you know, we don't have two number ones at receiver, potential number ones at receiver. Well, we don't know yet. We'll see how Coleman turns out, but that's just my thought process on this year.
Yeah, Nico, man, great job, dude. Thanks for the call. I like the 2019 comparison you made right at the beginning because I think there's a different vibe, though, with 2019 to 2023. 2019 was discovering John Brown is a pretty damn good wide receiver and Cole Beasley is one of the best slot receivers in football. It was different last year because it was, oh, what's going on with Diggs? What's happening there? And you sort of see the downfall. There's this different vibe. Ultimately, though, it's kind of the same statistics. And you're right. There's a different Josh Allen now. Now we have an Allen who is, you know, fully established in the league, his throwing motion. You know, he's worked on his game compared to his second year. On the Brady stuff, Brady gets me excited in almost the sense because he doesn't have to rely on a number one wide receiver to get results. You look at that 2020 team for Carolina, a bad football team by most measures. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater's their starting quarterback, and I think P.J. Walker's the backup and actually gets in. But he had D.J. Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel all flirting with 1,000 yards. I think Robbie Anderson and D.J. Moore were just over, and Samuel's at like 800 yards. If Josh Allen's the quarterback with those three guys that year with Joe Brady, we're looking at a far different program than what they ultimately were. And of course, that's just looking at stats and not necessarily, you know, situational and stuff like that. But we can all argue correctly that the 2024 Bills are likely better than the 2020 Carolina Panthers. I'm excited for him. I'm excited what he can do. And yeah, I do think you're right with the defense and everything there. They're getting younger. The personnel is better, I think, moving forward. The personnel though the Bills have had, it's kind of the same vibe as, but you knew they were good. They've made iconic plays for you. This is a group of players. I know somebody, you know, 26 years old. I grew up in the drought. These are the guys that brought the program forward into relevancy and then dominance. It was hard to see a lot of these guys go. But I think ultimately for the betterment of the team going forward, it needed to be done. It's just a painful thing, and it's not sexy. And so during the offseason, because we have 7 months of it, it can get very painful, and we all kind of get into our gears wondering what the hell is happening, especially when the talking heads for, you know, national basis, when they, you know, again, can't cover the team 365, 24/7, don't see maybe necessarily the big picture. They just look at the roster and go, they're missing Diggs and Davis and Trey White and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Well, they're dead in the water. Why even show up anymore? And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. I do think the Bills are setting themselves up for a much better future. And even if you want to look towards next offseason, they're going to have more money and potentially double-digit draft picks to keep building towards that future. This is how you take advantage of a quarterback in his prime, is by having a ton of draft picks and potentially having money to spend while also staying competitive like I think they will this year. Thank you for the calls. That was us getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We're going to transition a little bit from football, though, but if you want to get in and join the show, give your thoughts on how you're feeling now that the offseason is all but over. We got training camp next week, Wednesday. 803-0550 is the number to call. But coming up next, Jeff Metis, former PGA Pro and one of our Tee to Green hosts every Saturday morning, will be joining me to talk the Open Championship over in Scotland. And at 11 o'clock, Kevin Bowen of 1075, The Fan in Indianapolis. Indies, kind of an interesting team in the AFC South and AFC in general. What's Anthony Richardson going to be? Where are the vibes at with Indy? And of course, Caitlin Clark as well. 19 assists. She's scoring triple doubles. Well favored to be the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Want to get his thoughts on all that as well. That's coming up at 11. But next up, Jeff Metis after a quick timeout. You listen to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.